This is Corpse Run Radio.
We are the Forsaken. We are the Forsaken.
Hello, darlings, and welcome to episode 21 of Corpse Run Radio. I am your host, Juno, and I hope that you're all doing well this month and enjoying the IRL cooler weather. I certainly am, but to the issue at hand. This month, as you know, is October, and that means that I am very busy. So this is unfortunately going to be a relatively short episode. My apologies. It's just, I have no time. And as well, Lita, Grand Nagus, Cameo, and Robin Blay are all dealing with things of their own in life. So please do send them your positive vibes and well wishes. They'll be back, I'm sure, but not this episode. So yeah. I figured this is about as long an episode as I'll be able to produce this month, and I hope that it's better than nothing, darlings. But don't despair. I have not forsaken you, no matter how busy I am this month. I promise to get our minis out each week, okay? Right on schedule. Now then, don't forget, Dark Moon Fair is running from October 4th to the 11th, and then my personal favorite, which I'm going to have to find some time to do, Hallow's End. It will run from October 18th to November 1st and includes the new Garrison Events Coordinator, so that should be way fun. As a side note, there is a podcast that you may know of called Looking for Roleplay Podcast. And they did an episode that I found very interesting to listen to called Races of Azeroth Forsaken. And so I just wanted to pass that information along to you in case you'd be interested. The hosts, Tarkanis, Devi, and Terwinkle, are great people, and their website is lookingforroleplay.com. All right, I've got to run, but stay tuned. Coming right up, we have 10 interesting World of Warcraft lore facts by Doron's Movies, and The Problem with Hunters by Slightly Impressive. But first, this wonderful song by Musicita called Come One, Come All.
Come play the games and win prizes. guys, this is Donald's Movies, and today I'll be bringing you 10 World of Warcraft lore facts. So, without further ado, let's get into the video. Crystal Song Forest was a typical forest all until the Battle of the Blue and the Black Dragonflight. A blue dragon overwhelmed casted a powerful spell that was supposed to drain the life of his attackers and turn them into stone. However, this spell was amplified and it spread across the entire region, turning everything into crystal. The zone hasn't changed much ever since. Dark Fallen were once blood elves following Kil'tas. When he allied himself with Illidan, they went to Icecrown in order to stop Arthas from reaching the Frozen Throne and the Lich King. Since that failed and they died, Arthas picked the most powerful ones and raised them to serve the Scourge. They are a vampiric race in their undeath, however, originally the Vrykul were supposed to be vampires, but all of that was crap before the Wrath of the Lich King expansion. Shenzhen Su is the largest animal on the World of Azeroth that we have ever seen so far. He is the Wandering Isle and has an entire small civilization of Pandaren living on his back. All of the playable Pandaren technically originate from the Wandering Isle, meaning that they spent most of their lives on the back of a turtle. Dreadlords, as a part of the Burning Legion, mainly communicate in the Eridan language. However, they are capable of understanding any known tongue, meaning that they can speak to any creature that has means of speech. This helps them greatly, as they are a race best known for their manipulation skills. The Old Gods are presumed to be all over the known Warcraft universe. In the Burning Crusade, we have seen some of the Arakoa in the Shadowmoon Valley attempting to summon an Old God. Also, by one of the Azeroth theories, it is said that the Old Gods somehow found the world and latched onto it, as opposed to them being native to Azeroth. After the Third War, Sylvanas was searching for allies, sending emissaries to various factions. The Tauren were the most promising contact, as the Archdruid Hamul Runetotem felt pity for the Forsaken and had convinced Troll to forge an alliance with him. This granted the Forsaken protection and the Horde with a base of operations in the Eastern Kingdom. Uldum, a zone only recently discovered, has been a mystery for a long, long time. At first it was thought to just be a Cloak Titan research facility, but we have found out that Uldum is actually a super weapon. If you remember back in Uldar when Algalon was scanning the world for Old God presence, he wanted to reoriginate the world, essentially just destroying Azeroth and then reshaping it, so that the Old Gods can never take over the world, even if they manage to get free. We did manage to stop it, however, if his reply code was actually positive, Uldum would have been the reorigination device. When Arthas destroyed Lordaeron and killed his own father, his original plan was to settle in Undercity. He wanted to create a seat of power for the Scourge in the once capital of Lordaeron. However, his plans were changed as the Lich King sensed the Legion threat to the Frozen Throne and had summoned Arthas. He left for Northrend, giving Kel'Thuzad the task to watch over the former lands of Lordaeron.
I shall, King Arthas. I shall.
Sindragosa was once a blue dragon and was very close to Meligos, the leader of the Blue Dragonflight. When Deathwing betrayed the Aspects, the Blue and the Black Dragonflight engaged in a big battle. Using the dragon's soul that contained the power of all the Aspects, Deathwing blasted Sindragosa far across the land. She somehow managed to reach Dragonblight, the Grey Dragon Graveyard, where all of the dragons go instinctively to die. Thousands of years later, during the Wrath of the Lich King expansion, she was raised by Arthas as the most powerful of the Frostfiends. The humans are descendants of the Vrykul, once created by the Titans. As with the other Titan creations, they were affected by the Curse of Flesh. Soon, many of their children were born weak and ugly, and King Ymiron ordered that all such children should be killed. Many of the parents were actually executed because of this law, and it was really merciless, but despite the risks, a lot of the children were hidden away by some of the parents. The survivors would later on create the human race, as we know it today. Alright, that is all I have for this video. Now, do leave your suggestions on what you would like to see on the channel, and also don't forget to like and subscribe as it really helps out the channel and keeps all the videos going. And thanks a lot for taking the time out of your day to watch this video, and see you next time.
Mr. Crawley, attack!
Wow, he does everything you tell him to?
Of course, he's my pet.
Make him dance!
Well, that's not one of his commands.
Oh, can he roll over?
Well, no.
What about shake?
Look, he's a combat pet. He doesn't do tricks.
Lame.
So, how'd you get him?
Oh, I tamed him myself. It took a lot of patience, diligence, and love.
I love you well, spider. Who's a good spider? Who's a good... Ow!
Mostly patience.
So, if hunting is your thing, why aren't you wearing leather armor from all of the stuff you've killed?
Because what kind of moron goes into battle wearing nothing but leather and calling it armor?
Hey!
Okay, fair enough.
Hey, what bow is that?
Oh, this baby? I got this from the Mythic Mode Fel'jaina fight. Pretty sweet, huh?
You know you could be using a gun, right?
Eh, I like bows better.
Okay, I guess you like doing less damage and being way less accurate. Not to mention having to carry around all those arrows.
That's not how it works at all.
Well, it should. I mean, any class that can use a gun should have a huge advantage over everyone else.
You know what? You're right. I'm gonna go complain about it to Blizzard on the forums.
Attention players. In response to the sudden, unexplained outcry in the Hunter community, we will be making significant changes to the class. First of all, Hunters must now make their own armor from their kills.
But how do we...
Male armor can be obtained by hunting and skinning robots.
Okay.
Also, Hunters can now use their weirdly specific mind control abilities on shape-shifted druids.
Pull the next one, Fluffy!
That's not my name, and I'm not ready yet. Ugh! Seriously?
Gunshots will now kill most mobs and other players in one shot.
Yes, this is awesome!
However, guns are now available to any class, because why wouldn't they be?
Haha.
After a thorough background check, of course.
Says here you were accused of slaughtering an entire village of Murlocs for, quote, some pocket change and a pair of pants.
That was never proven. Hope they don't look at my gear.
Next up, we have a beautiful song by Kavo350 called Gabrielle, and then The Top 10 Ways to Die in WoW by Hirumaru Dex, and Top 10 Creepy Stories in World of Warcraft by Noble87.
I used to be alive, dreamed to work for the SI, but then I fled to Westfall, where I'd roam till I got caught. In Haven, there I trained to be a rogue, and was a soldier of the light. Till Deathwing had come, my parents would die. That's when I darkened my soul. Mugging fools was now my goal. Though I was caught and torn, I escaped my fate and ran from the scorn. I freed myself from Bane's intrusion, break from his coming, and was alone then. Lived my life away from the trouble, till I got into a working struggle. Sliced my neck, there I was slain. I fade to black and woke up somewhere in the trysful plains, and lived a new life as Bane. Now I am a forsaken. This was quite the adjustment. I was told to hate the horde, but the demon I knew was now my lord. For I found they were loyal, and I served them into Draenor. I went in with my own band, and I earned the respect of many or clans. I'd grow as a rough as a cultist. Even undead, I still have a purpose. With this smile, I hide depression, but through the facade, it's my possession. I've forsaken, and though I'm strange, I'll fight for Bulge until I am no longer in this world. My name is Gabe, and I rule the world. I throw as a rock as a cultist. Even undead, I still have a purpose. With this smile, I hide depression, but through the facade, it's my possession. Fight for bones until I am no longer in this world. My name is Gabe, and I rule the world.
Hey everyone, it is Cabo. Thank you for listening to this roleplay parody theme song for Gabriel, or Gabe for short, who happens to belong to Megan, who is a friend of mine. I actually know Megan and knew of her before I did the parody theme songs. And I enjoyed role-playing with her and also talking on Skype. So I hope you enjoyed this, Megan. If you all liked it, please like and favorite the video below. Now, that's one parody down, 9 more to go. If you look over here, here's the list of people that are next in line. Now, I am no longer taking any new roleplay parody theme song requests because of the amount of people that are waiting. So, if you are wanting a new one, you will have to wait a little bit longer until I reopen the commission log. Now, note I said commission, because when I do reopen requests for this, they will be commissions from now on. They will no longer be free requests. This is due to the amount of workload I've had to put in for these and also the demand for them. If you have any more questions about it, please leave them in the comments below. But when I decide to reopen them, I'll do a vlog and say all this stuff again. But until then, thank you for watching this video, and I'll look forward to talking to y'all again on the next roleplay parody theme song. Until then, take care!
What are some of the best ways to die? No, I don't mean the old boring ways of dying, like wiping to a raid boss or pulling too many elite mobs at once. This quick little video will go over 10 very unique ways of dying. Number 10, death by items. A fan of mine sent in a story that goes a little something like this.
There I was, a new level 19 toon who had this cool level 80 death knight come up to me. He gives me an item and tells me to use it. Seeing as he's this awesome max level player giving little old level 19 me the time of day, I was excited. So I open up trade and take this strange item he's giving me. Maybe it's a rare buff, or maybe a new spell that will make me just a little bit as strong as him. I don't know. I'm a new player, and everything is wonderful to me. So, I click on the item and immediately die.
The item in question from the story was called the Dark Rune. The Dark Rune is a rare drop from the Plaguelands that converts health into mana, just like a Warlock's Life Tap. Only, if you use it on a low-level character and don't have enough health to convert, you just die. There are only a handful of items in the game that can actually allow you to kill yourself, most of which are no longer obtainable. The Engineering Nitro Boots Belt Enchant used to have a malfunction that put a dot on you that would kill you. This would happen so often that it was often joked, "Guys, I think something might be wrong with the fuel leaking device. It sometimes malfunctions and boosts my speed." It's been nerfed several times to no longer kill you though, or buffed, depending on how you look at it. The offhand weapon, Skull of Impending Doom, would give you a 60% speed boost at the cost of 60% of your health and mana over 10 seconds. And the quest item trinket, Crystal of Zin Malor, which would just give you a continuous damage to you while you had it on. These were two of the few items you could use to actually kill yourself. Neither is available in-game anymore, but there is an item called Rasha's Sacrificial Dagger that will insta-kill you if you're below level 90. Number 9, Falling Off Tedrasil. Before Cataclysm, there was a rogue quest in the Night Elf starting zone called Destiny Calls, which made you stealth up behind a Night Elf standing on a branch off the side of the giant ash tree that is Tedrasil. Because, for those of you who don't know, the entire Night Elf starting zone technically takes place either on top of or inside of a giant tree. If you weren't careful on this particular quest, you could fall off the tree to one of the longest falls to death in the game. Lots of new players just deleted their new Night Elves rather than get their body back after falling, since getting back was a huge hassle for those who were not smart enough just to take rest sickness. There are two other spots in the game a little higher up than the fall from Tedrasil: Hyjal and the Storm Peaks. So if you're looking for a glorious way to kill your character from a very high place, you can go to those two places without having to be a dirty Alliance player. Number 8, Dying to a World Boss. Scenario: you're a level 59 hunter who just upgraded their expansion to Burning Crusade and are enjoying Outlands. Hellfire Peninsula is pretty neat. I especially like that demon fight at the entrance. Now let me get back to collecting boar ass for this quest. Then, suddenly, the ground shakes. What a weird earthquake, your poor, retarded noob mind thinks as you continue killing the exciting fell boars. But the shaking gets more frequent, and you hear a weird sound every now and again, so you finally decide to look around. Only, it's too late. You're right in the path of the giant ass fell reaver, way out of your level. Oh crap, if only there was some way to avoid this encounter. Maybe some kind of ability that would make this giant ass robot of death ignore me, as if I was plain dead or something, but as far as I know, hunters don't have an ability like that. What if I try my chances at fighting it? So you fire a shot and send your gorilla in to tank for you, but both you and Bubbles get one-shotted and die. I'll let you in on a little secret. This hypothetical situation happened to me, only I feigned death in front of it as it ran over me and killed me anyway. Number 7, Killed by Deathwing. As some of you may or may not have known, all throughout Cataclysm, Deathwing would randomly show up in a zone and just murder everyone. It was one of the coolest things in the game, but was kinda annoying if it happened while you were on your way to a raid entrance to use Have Grip Will Travel to summon your whole raid there. You even got an achievement if you were lucky enough to get killed by Deathwing. Of course, you could also get the achievement later on in the expansion by just dying to either Spine or Madness of Deathwing. Number 6, having either your Zeppelin or ship despawn in the middle of the Fatigue Zone. In the earlier days of WoW, boats and Zeppelins were not very safe for travel and had some very weird bugs associated to them. Ships, outside of straight up teleporting, were the only ways to get to other continents, and would basically take you out to the Fatigue Zone and then teleport you to another continent. But sometimes, the boat would teleport without the passengers and just drop them deep into the Fatigue Zone. It was impossible to actually get out of the Fatigue Zone without dying, and usually took 2 to 3 ghost runs to get your body to a safe location. Number 5, AFK Deaths. Scenario: you're killing mobs in a level-appropriate area, and you're quite parched, so you decide to run away from all the mobs into an area you know nothing could possibly path into. And to be even more careful, you stealth. You go downstairs, get a drink of water, come back, and find that one elite mob in the area just happened to path where you were, in the middle of nowhere, while stealth, on your Iron Man character, and you die. It almost seems like mobs will bend over backwards the path to your AFK location. Also, AFK flying. Say you want to fly to Thunderbluff from Org to the Darkmoon Fair. You think, no biggie, I'll just set autofly, tab out, check my emails or some shit, come back a minute later, and you're flying against the edge of the world dying to fatigue. Speaking of fatigue, number 4, dying while already dead. Did you know you could die as a ghost? You still get fatigue while in ghost form and can die just as if you were alive. That's like some Inception levels of death, since you just go back to the spirit healer and you get to look for your corpse again. Number 3, death by priests. Did you know? If, say, you're running along the bridge to Ragnaros, and you leap of faith a fellow raid member next to the edge as they are also running and mid-jump, there's little they can do to not fall right off the edge of said bridge and die in the lava. Killing raid members with Life Grip takes some skill and practice, but can be pulled off as long as you're patient, and can catch a raider who isn't paying all that much attention on the run back to Zul'Kharak. I should also mention about how I used to kill myself with Shadow Word Death occasionally. You see, back in the day, by default, Shadow Word Death would do damage to you equal to the damage it did if it failed to kill your target. It also did extra damage if the target was below 20% health. So, if facing off against a boss with massive damage debuffs like Halphus Wormbreaker and the Bastion of Twilight, I'd sometimes just kill myself by mistake during the execute phase. Fun times, Cataclysm. Number 2, getting killed by your own faction. Unfortunate enough to play on a PvP realm because your friend raided on one and you joined his guild? Well, make sure you stay away from the Timeless Isle and miss. There were people there who just loved to gank, and allowing yourself to become hostile with your own faction was like a wet dream for them. You can also accomplish the same feat with the mercenary mode in Ashran, but if you actually look like someone of the opposite factions, it's just not the same. Number 1, dying to the elevator boss. The elevator boss has probably killed more players than any hard mode boss Blizzard has ever put in the game. Did you know Blizzard even tracks how many times you died in the elevator boss in Blackwing Descent? Of course, that wasn't the only elevator boss in the game. The original elevator of death was Serpentine Caverns. But even earlier than that would be the Undercity elevators. In order to get to Undercity, you have to take an elevator. And those puppies are fast. One misstep back in the day and you fell to your death. But really, anywhere that has an elevator like Thunderbluff or Old Thousand Needles claim lives to the Impatient and the Laggy alike.
Hello everyone! For this week, we're going to do a brand new top 10, and in this one, I'm going to talk about my top 10 creepy stories in World of Warcraft. These are the stories that are bizarre, they're scary, they're creepy, or simply spooky. These are the stories that we're going to talk about today. For those that have seen other top 10s, made by other people similar to this one, you might find a few similarities, but I hope I'll be able to surprise you with a few of my picks. So ladies and gentlemen, I invite you to close the curtains, dim those lights, gather around, and let's talk about some creepy stories. Starting this list, I've placed the story of the Deadmines at number 10, especially with the Cataclysm revamp. The story behind the Deadmines is that once upon a time, after the Horde had destroyed Stormwind, but also were defeated by the Alliance, someone had to rebuild the city. For this job, they hired none other than Edwin van Cleef, guildmaster of the Stonemasons Guild, and he and his people, they delivered an excellent job. They rebuilt the city to even greater than it was. When it was time to pay though, the nobles refused to pay what was promised. They were infiltrated by the Black Dragon Onyxia, disguised as Lady Catrana Prestor, and she had convinced them all that paying the Stonemasons was not a good idea. They refused to hand over all of the gold that Van Cleef was promised, and not even King Varian was able to defuse the situation, so Van Cleef and his people, they led a riot through the streets as they escaped the city. During this riot, Van Cleef's wife, Tiffin, was hit by a stone. She lost her life, while the Stonemasons Guild, they took up the name of the Defiance Brotherhood, and they made their base within the Deadmines. They had a plan in mind of building a massive ship, which they would use to assault the city they had built and get their revenge. But before all of that could happen, so-called heroes, they were informed on the bounty on Van Cleef's head, and groups of them, they went into the Deadmines to bring him to justice. Van Cleef fell dead on the floor as we cheered and gloated over our victory. We decapitated him, we took his head as proof of demise, but from the shadows, his daughter came out and she saw the decapitated corpse of her father. This led to Vanessa Van Cleef picking up the mantle of leader of the Defiance Brotherhood and us once again go into the Deadmines, taking care of business, take out this leader. All of this on its own, it isn't really creepy, although a young girl seeing her father decapitated on the floor is a gruesome image, I have to admit, but the day that I realized that we weren't truly the heroes, that was the day that I was creeped out. Back in the day when I started doing Deadmines, I didn't know the storyline, I didn't really understand the lore, I didn't know what was going on. The realization came later, and in this situation, I don't believe that Van Cleef was really the bad guy. He was just a man doing his job, he got screwed over by the nobles of Stormwind, they placed the bounty on his head, and these so-called heroes, they took him out, while his own little girl had to watch, had to find his corpse on the ship. We're not really heroes, we just want gold and shiny loot, we get manipulated, get put on the dirty jobs, and this realization just creeped me out. At number 9, I've placed the Witch of Nagrand, Chell. This one is an oldie but a goldie. Chell, she was part of the Grand during the Burning Crusade, and she was hidden away in her own little area. At first, we didn't really know much about this troll, except that her campsite had the most bizarre things placed together. You had little children scattered all over the place. Chell was chilling next to a cauldron. You had a few cages with bones piled up inside, a couple of explosives buried in the sand, a doghouse with some juicy meat still rotting inside. All of this had people speculate that Chell might be a witch who feeds on the flesh of the young. Warlords of Draenor came around to fill in the blanks. We found out that Chell is actually a shapeshifting witch, and she's responsible for the death of Garrox, his wife. She kills to stay young, and in our reality, no one ever came to take her down. How many parents have gone mad with grief over losing their children? How many children have been captured by this witch, knowing that sooner or later, their time would come? The time where Chell would approach them, most likely be ever so kind, ever so sweet. The Wicked Witch of the Grand, feeding off the innocent, she has definitely earned her spot on this list. Number 8. The list wouldn't be complete without this creature. It's Tereus from Naxxramas. The undead, Scourge, Arthas, the Lich King, all of that is pretty grim and dark. You'll find many examples of the undead creepiness on this list, but Tereus is something special. When you fight through Naxxramas, you'll sometimes hear a female voice scream in the distance. At the time, I didn't think much of it. I just figured it was part of the ambience connected to Naxxramas. But later I found out that those screams, they had a source and could actually make it stop. You could save these poor souls as Commander Elagor Dawnbringer and Wintergard Keep. He explains how each boss works their backgrounds, and for Tereus, he says that he's built from the flesh of women and children. It is said that their souls are fused together, eternally bound within that foul prison of flesh. The flesh of women and children, taken by the Scourge, transformed into this hideous being. During the encounter, Tereus screams, "Now you feel pain!" And as we put him out of his misery, with his dying breath, he thanks us.
Thank you.
The screams are no more. An eerie silence penetrates the floating citadel. May their souls find peace, and may none be mad enough to create another being like Tereus. Number 7 took place during the expansion that most found very childish, during the expansion Mists of Pandaria. On the surface, the Pandaren all look pretty cute and cuddly with their beer parties, their big bellies, but underneath goes a pretty grim history. The Mogu had enslaved the Pandaren and cared not for what happened to them. The Pandaren were ordered to build the Great Serpent Spine, a massive wall separating the Mogu Empire from the Mentids, and of course the Mentids, they didn't let them build this wall without a fight. Generations of Pandaren were simply thrown at the wall, sent to the slaughter, but one day Kang, Fist of the First Dawn, he had enough. He rose up and he showed his fellow Pandaren that they did not need any weapons to fight against the Mogu. Their bodies were hardened by the hard labor they were put through, and their own fists would become their weapons. He was the first of the Pandaren monks, and he taught his people to no longer fear the Mogu, and from that moment on, the Pandaren would lead their own destiny and their own empire. During Mr. Pandaria, the Mogu returned, and the horrors of the past came with them. During the Golden Lotus daily quest, we were sent to fight against the Mogu, and most of these quests, they were pretty normal. You would destroy a few cannons, you would kill a few enemies, you know, the usual daily quests. But two of them, they really struck me as I realized what I was doing. The first one is called Acts of Cruelty, in which you're sent to rescue 5 torture victims. Pandaren were literally being tortured by the Mogu out in the field, but that was just the beginning. These were the lucky ones, and they were rescued since another quest called Free the Spirits, it sends you to liberate Pandaren spirits from captivity of the Mogu. Imagine for a moment that an ancient enemy that had enslaved your entire race, it is now returned with a vengeance. You sit cowering in the corner, waiting for the torment to finally end. And was it not for us, these Pandaren spirits, they would have remained prisoners, surrounded by these banshee-like creatures, and at the mercy of the Mogu. An eternity imprisoned, an eternity captive, an eternity tormented. That is awaits these spirits that we never liberated. Number 6 is reserved for the Darkmoon Fair, and you might wonder how such a happy little place on Azeroth could earn a spot on the creepy list, but the Darkmoon Fair, it holds many secrets and mysteries. If you die on the island, you can find restless spirits all over the island, and each talks about the way that they died or the way that they came in touch with the fair. For example, Sifara Wellspun, she died while gathering firewood for their campsite. Cup Coincare, a male goblin, he says that Silas was able to repay most of my debt as long as I worked at the fair. Most of my debt was repaid, I think. My debt was almost repaid. No one was going to miss those last gold coins. I didn't think anyone would mind if I didn't stay to help run the fair. Which implies that he was working on his debt by working at the fair, but he believed that he was done and they wouldn't mind him leaving. I guess that was not entirely the case, considering that he's a spirit now, and there are even rumors going around that the leader of the fair, Silas Darkmoon, he is not what he seems to be. There's a spirit that claims that his home was called Strum, and many years ago, Strum was turned into Strumguard. It's possible that he simply shortens the name, or perhaps Silas, he's quite a dark individual. In the comics, there was the story of the fair, in which Kerry Hick, the strongest woman alive, she was falsely accused of murder. They spent their time trying to prove her innocence, but in the end, they were forced to break her out of jail, but luckily they also found a witness that was able to testify to Kerry's innocence, but the real killer was never truly punished. Cedric Falrook had indeed killed his own brother Eric, but his father was unable and unwilling to kill his last son. He did believe that he was guilty though, so he gave Cedric a bunch of gold, he told him to go far away, but before Cedric was even able to set a foot out the door, the strongest lady punched him from behind, and the people of the fair gave him their own piece of justice. The Darkmoon Fair is family, and like all families, they take care of each other. Silas had Cedric placed next to his deceased brother, and the final thing that you see in the comics is the coffin being shut and Cedric screaming at the top of his lungs. The Darkmoon Fair is all fun and games. It can be the happiest place on Azeroth, as long as you play by the rules, as long as you don't mess around. Number 5 I've reserved for Sylvanas, and specifically the Forsaken activity surrounding the plague. Remember the plague that was used at the Wrathgates? I think I've shown that cinematic maybe once or twice, of course not that often, but what's happening there is that Sylvanas is betrayed by some of her own people, and they use the plague against the Arthas, but also the Horde and the Alliance. This plague, it didn't just pop up out of existence, it was developed and created by the Forsaken themselves, and Sylvanas, she was hell-bent on getting revenge. Of course, creating such a plague, it does not happen instantly. They had to test their creations, and they tested it not only on the undead, they also used it on the living. Unfortunate dwarves, humans, orcs, they were trapped in cages and forced to gulp down experiment after experiment. Even now, you can see Apothecary Kiever working on a blight and experimenting on living creatures, eventually turning one into a sheep, which explodes. You also have Teresa, a human girl turned to a mindless slave, and she's possibly a reference to a fable character, but in World of Warcraft, they broke her spirit, they removed certain parts of her brain while stimulating other parts of her brain. She's forced to do whatever they tell her to do, and that's just a few of the examples you can find within the Undercity. Outside, we can't forget about the blight that they used to utterly destroy Southshore, or the camp where they've planted living humans into the soil. We get a quest where you can either bash their heads in, you can either save the life, or you can save the life and then bash their heads in. The Forsaken's actions are truly some of the creepier things you'll find in Warcraft. Number 4 is for one of the more recent events that happened within Warcraft. It's the bombing of Feramore. Picture this for a moment. One of the leaders of the Horde, he sends you a warning. The Horde is getting ready for war, and they're planning to assault your city. They're planning to assault Feramore. He cannot stand at your side, nor will he neglect his duties to the Horde, but Jaina's actions in the past, they compelled Bane to give her this warning. That's the situation Jaina Proudmoore was placed in within the novel Tides of War, in which Garrus and the Horde, they got ready to assault Feramore. Jaina asked for help from the Alliance to defend her city, which she got of course, and even the Kirin Tor sent her their aid. All were ready, and for a time it seemed like they could actually hold, that they could win this war, but all of it was just a charade. Garrosh had never planned to win Feramore by fighting like this. He was ready to throw any sense of honor out of the window, and all of this was just a plan to draw as many of the enemy forces as he could. In the sky, the stolen focusing iris was being transported by a zeppelin, and they had transformed this magical item into a mana bomb. The blue dragon Caligos, he tried to stop it, he was unable to, and the mage Ronin, he saw no other choice than to draw the bomb upon himself, upon Fedamor, to keep the explosion within their protective shields. He teleported Jaina away seconds before impact, and he sacrificed his life for his beloved and for the world. Due to his actions, the arcane radiations was kept to a small area, but as Jaina returned to her home, she found herself living a nightmare. People she had loved, people she had fought with, had talked with, had shared their life with, they were all blown up, her entire city was gone. Eerie corpses were floating in the sky, and her apprentice Kindi was dead on the floor. With tears in her eyes, Jaina tried to hold and touch the small body, but as she did, the body disintegrated into a pile of violet sand. This moment broke the once peace-loving Jaina Proudmoore and would forever change her, but this was just the start. Eventually, the storyline, it guided us into the Siege of Orgrimmar, where we found out that Bane's warning to Jaina, it simply had not been enough. They were warned in time. Jaina was able to gather help and send those who didn't or couldn't want the fight away from the coming battle. Women and children and innocents were placed on boats, assumingly to a safe haven. But during the siege, we found out that some of them, maybe all of them, simply didn't make it. They were captured by the Horde. Women and children were taken and their parents were placed against each other to fight. Because if they didn't, the Horde would hurt their little ones. Garrosh's crimes went further than just starting a war. He had taken civilians, he had taken innocents, he forced them to fight simply for their amusement. Blizzard is damn right, they took Garrosh very far in the role as the bad guy, putting people against each other with the threat of who'll kill your children. That's just cruel, man, that's just dishonorful. It's a bad guy, that's for sure. Which brings us to the top 3 of the list, and at number 3 I've placed something that can't really be avoided in a list like this. It's the Tower of Karazhan. This place is creepy in many ways, and I guess that's unavoidable when a corrupted guardian has lived and died inside of it. For those that don't know, the guardian Medivh lived in this tower, and he was possessed by the dark titan Sargeras. Sargeras manipulated events, he started the first Orcish Horde invasion of Azeroth, but eventually Khadgar friends, they figured out what was going on, and they stabbed Medivh. This caused Sargeras to come to the surface. He was decapitated before it could materialize, but his plans were already in motion. The orcs invaded the planet, that all happened, and his demise, the demise of Medivh of the Guardian inside Karazhan, it's speculated to be the reason for the cursed land of Darkshire. In the tower itself, we have visions of the past and the future. We have ghosts haunting the halls, being forced to party forever. And then there's the ghost of Medivh's father, tormented and terrified that his son would return.
Who are you? What do you want? Stay away from me! Please, no more! My son, he's gone mad! I'll not be tortured again!
There were rumors going around before Warlords of Draenor that Blizzard might actually use Karazhan again for some sort of event, and perhaps these plans were real, perhaps it was just a rumor, but they never implemented it. It's quite a shame though, since there's still a part of Karazhan that has never seen the light of day. Many have probably heard of the Upside Down Sinners, which is a pool of water where you can find unfortunate souls chained upside down, dead corpses right next to Karazhan. It's uncertain how or why they're exactly there, but you also have to wonder why they even programmed this. We know from other stories, like the Dark Riders for example, that you don't want to mess with Medivh, that's a given. The Dark Riders, they used to be traveling merchants who tried to cheat Medivh by selling him some fake artifacts, and that's something you don't want to do. They fell under his wrath, he cursed them, forcing them to ride out and collect real artifacts of power, bring them back to the tower, and perhaps these so-called sinners, they tried to do a similar thing and they were punished by Medivh. That is, of course, one possibility. Perhaps there's a completely different story to tell. Who knows? Perhaps one day they'll be given a proper place in the storyline. Perhaps one day they'll actually open up the crypts. For now, though, they're just there to creep you out. That's not even the worst Karazhan has to offer, though. I mean, have you ever been underneath the tower? There is some sicko over the Blizzard that has programmed some really messed up stuff under there. And I'm afraid to show you on screen, but here you go. This is it, man. Truly creepy. Number 2, Ghost of Skolomans, a story which is not widely known, and unfortunately not really in the game anymore. In the past, Skolomans was the Barovs family manor and their prime residence amidst their far-reaching empire. Eva Sarkov and her husband Lucian, they're the ones who used to tell the story in-game, and they were servants to the family. Over time, the Barov family, they started to fall to paranoia, and their greed caused arguments between them. They wanted a way to preserve their fortune and hold off the land past their lifespan, and luckily for them, Kel'Thuzad had just the solution. He offered them the promise of immortality, and in exchange, the Barov family, they handed over their home, which was turned into a school of necromancy. All kinds of vile experiments took place within, and as each week passed, the House Barov became more and more decrepit and twisted. Dark beings began to take residence in the various wings of the house. For 6 months, Eva and Lucian, they were able to survive by sneaking food and water, while they were forced to listen to the tormented screams at night. These were servants who had already been captured, and one day the inevitable happened. The 2 remaining servants were captured as well. They were stripped of all clothes, laid down in a circle of blood. They sat there for days, naked and terrified, as the undead surrounded them, constantly tormenting them with horrifying acts of depravity. Finally, when he came, he introduced himself as Dr. Thielen Krasteno, but they would get to know him as the Butcher. They were used in his vile experiments.
The doctor is in.
He exposed them to pain that they didn't know existed. He used them in countless experiments to devise a plague. Days turned into weeks. They would have died on that very first day of capture, was it not for the magical means which kept them alive. Finally, the butcher was done with his experiments, as they'd been drained of all life. Their spirits were shattered, and they thought that the sweet embrace of death was upon them, and they welcomed it with open arms. Unfortunately for them, the butcher was cruel. He revived them from death's door one final time, and he fed them to his ravenous ghouls. He laughed as he watched the fiends devour their flesh, and now their spirits remained within limbo, unable to leave until the remains are found and their spirits laid to rest. We were sent in to take care of these sinners, to clear up Skolomans and put a halt to the vile actions taking place within. There were so many creepy things going on inside that it would take quite some time to list it all, but it's no surprise that Skolomans was chosen to be updated during the Cataclysm. Sadly, the story did change quite a bit, but the memories of this place are quite creepy, and I will never forget the day that I read this, that I saw the video, and I was like, what? Did this really happen? I had no idea, and it's quite a creepy story. What could possibly top that creepy story? What could be at number one? Well, for me, it's the Emerald Nightmare as described within the novel Stormrage. As creepy as it is when people are used in experiments like this, for me the idea of being trapped in a nightmare, which feels so very much like it's real, that's just a scary thought on its own. I need my beauty sleep, man, and to think that it would be disturbed like that... Maybe I'm getting ahead of myself and I should explain the story first. In the novel Stormrage, we find out that the Emerald Dream has been turned into the Emerald Nightmare by the old god Nazoth and his companion Xavius. This nightmare, it causes people to fall asleep, never wake up again, while having their worst nightmares nearly come to life. These dreamers feed the nightmare fuel, causing a chain reaction of falling victim, empowering it at the same time, causing more victims. Some died of fright in their sleep, while others struck out while dreaming. The nightmares were never the same either. For example, Marshall Duggan, in his dreams he was sent on a relatively simple mission into Jasper Lode Mine. There they were supposed to clear the area of the infesting kobolds, but in his nightmare, the mission became a lot more difficult. The mage they had brought with them, Zaldimar, he betrayed them all and he resurrected the slain kobolds. This piece is taken from the book. They serve me now. As I serve our rightful lords, rests Zaldimar, his grinning face like a skull. And as you will, good Marshal. The kobolds move forwards. Marshal Duggan and his men press together. It won't hurt long. Utterly silent, the kobolds surge forwards. Duggan smashed through the throat of one, which had no effect. In desperation, he struck harder and lopped off the entire head, but the body kept attacking. I must leave you for a little while, Zaldimar murmured. I have to prepare for Goldshire next, a task with which you and your soldiers will assist once you've been converted. Damn you! But Marshal Duggan cut off as the necromancer vanished, and with him the light. The air grew thick. harsh, the fetid smile of that kobold was everywhere. Without the magical illumination, he could not see the figures coming toward him. A man shrieked. Sounds of fear arose from the others. Duggan could do nothing to help. He was desperately trying to fend off the horrific tide of attackers. Another man cried out. A moment later, the monstrous sound of something moist being torn apart echoed in the shafts. Marshall, the man next to him, pleaded. Keep fighting! But then Duggan nearly fell to the side as the soldier was dragged past him. The hapless fighter called out again, then produced a sickening scream as the familiar soft sound of weapons thrusting into flesh echoed from the walls. The clash of arms grew fainter, fainter. Marshall Duggan knew he was the last standing. He felt the undead kobolds converging on him. For the first time, their eyes glowed, a deathly white aura that sent shivers up his spine. And among them, he saw the illumination of the eyes of taller figures, torn and beaten figures, from what he could make out. His own men, now part of the ungodly throng, they surged forwards. Marshal Duggan swung wildly, his mace met flesh again and again, but the kobolds and the mutilated soldiers with them, they pushed on unimpeded. They were everywhere now, seizing at him with their claws, biting or striking him with their weapons. He cried out as the undead overwhelmed him. This is all a nightmare, of course, but imagine your worst fear nearly becoming a reality. A reality you cannot escape and have to relive over and over again. That is the fate that awaits those that are stuck within the nightmare, and this was just a simple mission to clear out the mine. Nearly all of Azeroth was hit by this, so people like Sylvanas also fell victim. Sylvanas dreamed that she was a high elf once again, only to be betrayed by Varimafras to be tormented by the Lich King. Jaina dreamed that she assisted Arthas with the Purge of Strath home instead of walking away, and that she was the one to pick up the cursed blade Frostmourne. These are just a few examples of the endless possibilities, and the fear of being stuck within your worst nightmare, to me, makes this the creepiest story in Warcraft. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of my little top 10 video. There are plenty of other choices, of course. You had the Goldshire Kids, you had the Headless Horseman, you had the Origin of the Centaurs. But these are just my picks. If you want, leave a comment down below with your creepiest story or moment within Warcraft. I'm sure plenty have had moments in Goldshire, for example, or perhaps Hellfire, which still haunts you to this day. I can't wait to read what you have to say. Thank you very much for watching, everyone. Subscribe if you like my videos. And until next time, guys, see ya!
And that brings us to the end of episode 21. I know it's short, but I hope that you enjoyed your time with the Forsaken of Corpse Run Radio. If you'd like to join us and have an idea for a fun little segment all your own, or if you have a question or comment for one of the hosts, or if you create Warcraft music and would like to be featured on CRR, please send your audio to corpserunradio@gmail.com or message us on Twitter @corpserunradio. Contact information for our hosts is available at our website, along with links to the songs and other audio heard in today's podcast. And that can be found at crr.podbean.com and also on iTunes, Stitcher, and Blueberry. Corpse Run Radio is a non-profit World of Warcraft fan podcast. All music and sound effects are used with permission. Sending out great big hugs to my co-hosts, Lolita, Grand Negus, Cameo, and Robin Play. I miss you guys. I hope you're doing well. And great big thanks this month go out to Zarheim, Blizzard, Doron's Movies, Slightly Impressive, Hiromara Dex, Noble 87, and the wonderful musical talents of Musicita, Kavo 350, and taking us out of episode 21, we have Silver Laetomi with C. Michaels in a song called The Legions Come Again.
I've no time for games.
Aw, come on, Sylvanas.
At the start, Malfurion, he won my heart, but my love always lingered. I want to see the side of you you couldn't show me. You can't be the betrayer. I freed you from the warden's cage. Oh, fought the legion with such rage. Oh, when you saved us, why'd they say you are lost? Yes. brother, but I also care for you. You took gold and school absorbed it back then, and now the legions come again. We need your help. Doesn't matter what you did to yourself. You're not evil, just changed, and now the legions come again.
Tyranda, now I understand where all my rage has started from. I thought I would be fine.
Oh no, my illidan.
My head is full of memories. I still remember everything. Two souls within my mind.
No, this can't be happening.
You were always in my dreams. Oh, your heart was always close to me. Oh, Gul'dan, what have you done to him and to his mind? Written on the runes on my skin. I'm not evil, just changed, and now the legions come again.
Oh, in you I trust.
I did this for us.
Good intentions, yes, but are they enough?
I'm still in control.
They darken your soul.
Tyranda, I could never hurt. Just our love is not enough.
In a second the invasion begins. Then we might try our love again.
I know we'll win. It is written on the runes of my skin. I'm not evil, just changed, and now the legions come again.
Need
to fight the legion. Just our love is not enough. In a second the invasion begins. Then we might try our love again. I know we'll win. It is written on the runes on my skin. I'm not evil, just changed, and now the legions come again.
Love you.
Ooh,
oh.